Amen. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you for another day as this. Thank you for bringing us to church. Thank you for bringing us to your faith. We ask that this morning that you speak to our hearts, teach us your word, O God. Cause us to be better sons, cause us to be better daughters, cause us to be better Christians, O God, in Jesus' name. Every Islamic agenda in this country, we ask that, Lord, you will bring to naught in Jesus' name. Thank you, precious God in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can sit down. Greet someone by your right and by your left and just say good morning. Good morning, Victor. Good morning, Conqueror. The fact that you slept yesterday night and you woke up this morning shows that you are a Victor. You are a Conqueror. It's not an easy task. Not everybody that went to bed yesterday woke up this morning. Not everybody. But the fact that God has kept you here till today means that he still has great plans for us. Amen. It's just by the way, I don't know if any of us, during the minister's conference just passed, that the GO made mention of a particular message that was talking about the Islamic agenda concerning Nigeria. I don't know if anybody has listened to that message. It was titled Week. He made reference to it and he told us to get it. Amen. It is to be good. We try to get it to listen to it. You understand that short prayer I just prayed. Amen. You have the message of me. Okay, you can probably just, it's good to listen to the message. He made reference, you just listen to it, the other one wants to continue. Let's quickly open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes 7, verses 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 8. Ecclesiastes is also called the preacher. Chapter 7, verses 8. I will read from here. Well, 8a actually. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I'll take it A again. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. This morning I'll be speaking on finishing well, very briefly. Finishing well, finishing well. That place says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. It simply means that it doesn't matter. What matters much is not how you start. What makes you a winner is not how you start, but how you end. It's the ending that makes you a winner. It's the ending that makes one a winner. How one starts a race is really not what makes one a winner. It's the ending. I watched Usain Bolt a couple of times. When they shoot the gun to start, if you watch him, maybe because of his height and his build, he is never the first to take off. At the point where they start, he's never the first. But by the time the race goes, 400 meter, 200 meter is done, he's there. It's not the beginning that matters. It's the end. So the Bible says, better is the end of a thing. What happens at the end is more important. Even in marriage, some start with, it's not the way the marriage starts that determines it, if it will be a success. It is the ending. A marriage can start on Wednesday, they will do bridal shower. Thursday, fourth wedding. Friday morning, engagement. Friday night, bachelor's eve. Saturday morning, church service. Saturday afternoon, reception. Saturday night, after party. The marriage started since Wednesday. But that's not what determines whether the marriage will go far. Because it is still very possible for that 5-day program to still end after a year. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Even in school, I remember in school, in my very first year, I got to our department and they pasted the names of those that just graduated. And they put a kind of trend. They put the GPA of everybody from year 1, year 2, year 3, and year 4, and then the cumulative GPA. And I was looking at different people, and I saw different trends. Some people started very well. Their year 1 GPA was very good, 4.something. Year 2, they kept on dropping, and somehow they ended with something they didn't plan for. Some people's own, they started poorly, and somehow they kept on rising, and they did very well. Some people's own, they were stable all through. I was just looking at the different trends that day, and I was looking at it, and I was thinking to myself, and I was asking myself, what is it that made this person that started so well end this bad? And I was telling myself that whatever it is that caused it will not happen to me. Because it is not the beginning of the thing that matters most. It's how the person ends. It's also the same thing in business. Business starts, but there's a survey that was done about businesses. They said in the first year, 25% of businesses pack up. In the second year, it increases to 36%. By the fourth year, 50% of businesses would have packed up. And by the 10th year, 71% of businesses that started would have gone. Same thing in business too. And so if you look around, in your personal spiritual life, there are people who when they started, everything that they were doing was Bible-based. Why are you doing this? They will tell you, I'm
sleeping doing it because the Bible says so thing. And that was what they believed, and that's what they were doing. And as time went on, ask them why they were doing what they are doing. They will tell you, that's what everybody is doing. That's what's in vogue now. But it's not how you start that matter. It's the ending. It is the ending. It seems like there is a force on the earth that makes people not to finish well. It seems that there's something on this earth that prevents people from finishing well. Because it happens all across. It happens all across. Finishing well. Finishing well. The hardest test of all sometimes is the test of success. You know, all these cases I mentioned, the fact that this person started is already a success. The fact that Usain Bolt got to run at the Olympics is already a success. The fact that he gets there to start. The fact that somebody is even doing wedding is a success. There are people who have not gotten there. The fact that somebody is starting business is a success. There are people who are still thinking of business plan, who are still looking for money. All these things are successes. But it seems that like the hardest test of all is a test after results start coming. Just like the person that led the prayer, look back at your life. Look how things have come. You must have tasted some success. And things have become good for a while. How well are you doing now? How well are you doing now? We are going to very quickly just look at four lives in the Bible. Four lives that started well. And along the line, something happened. We are going to look at what happened to them. And we are going to try to learn from them what is it that stopped them from finishing well. And we are going to take the same thing to our life very quickly. The very first person looking at his life is Lucifer. Lucifer. Can we open our Bibles to Ezekiel 28 verses 15? Ezekiel 28 verses 15. The Bible has a very interesting narration there. Ezekiel 28 verses 15. I'll read from here. It says, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created. See, Lucifer did not start bad. The Bible says he was perfect. He was perfect. God has said, Jesus said, be perfect as the Holy Father is perfect. Lucifer was perfect. He started well. But something happened. He said he was perfect till iniquity was found in thee. Even Lucifer started very well. But what made him miss it? If you look at verse 17 of the same place, he says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Two things. If we look clearly at his life, realize that what made him, his failure arose from his success. What made him fail was because he was successful. That place said that his heart was lifted up because of what? Because of his beauty. He was beautiful. And that beauty led to pride. He said, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He was bright. He was sharp. He was wise. But that was what put him into trouble. It was the success that caused failure. I look at everyone here, we've been successful in one thing or another. There are things that we have come through. Think back at your life. You have come through many things. And you have succeeded to come at this point. There are battles you have fought and won. There are things you have done. And you are a winner in a lot of things. And you have come to this point all the while. It's not for whom yet. You've not gotten to the destination yet. The Bible says, let him that stand take heed lest he fall. Lucifer was doing very well. But it was the success that caused him to fail. That's just by the way. The very first person I want us to look at is Saul. His brother Saul. Saul did not start bad view. Saul did not start bad. The Bible first makes mention of him in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Yes. That was when God told Samuel to go and anoint Saul. He told Samuel to go and anoint Saul. You know, and to make him the king. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21. After Samuel told Saul that Saul will be the next king, Saul with his own mouth told Samuel, that's me. In my small tribe, Benjamin, in my small family, Kish, you selected this small me. Saul called himself small. Saul was humble. At least at that point, he was humble. He started well. He was humble at that point. And let's face the fact, it's not easy to call yourself a, let's say, a cross word. Let's say it was in his 30s or something. It's not easy to call yourself a small boy after 30 years of experience. There are times when you want to prove that you have experience. You have a CV. You've done some things. It crosses my mind very quickly. Most, whether you call us boys or men, whichever, most boys or most men will get angry when other people call them, look at this small boy. Maybe something is happening anywhere. They're having a discussion. And somebody says, maybe amongst their mates, especially if it's a lady that says so. That is just among their mates, and the lady says, look at this small boy, what do you know? Most guys will get angry. Because
You can't call me a small boy anymore. At least I'm 20-something. I have experience. I've come through things. It's not easy to call yourself small. At least you have some CV. You've gathered some things. But Saul called himself small. He was humble at that point. And many things happened over time. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to read that, please. 1 Samuel chapter 15, from verse 14. When the prophet Samuel came back to him again with the report from God. Chapter 15 from verse 14. And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest were utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thy own sight," God remembered that even Saul knew he was small at a particular time, "was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the Syrians and the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord? For this fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord." And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God." Saul started well. He was the very first king of Israel. When the people said they wanted a king, and God agreed and said, "Okay, henceforth you can begin to have king," Saul was the very first person that God selected to be king. So Saul was a great man. But what made him fail? He said it by himself in that place. In 21, he said, But the people. After saying that, Samuel rebuked him. How can you say that? Disobedience is like witchcraft. And he replied again in verse 24. He said, "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. And I was, because I feared the people." What killed Saul was the people. Sometimes in the pathway of success, you meet people that are instrumental to where you have come to in life. You know, look back at your life. There are people that you have met across time. You know, that look at it today, they are part of the reasons why you are where you are today. Maybe someone who just met, somebody who connected you to somebody who gave you a contract or who gave you a job. There are people who you've met in life that got you to where you are today. But all in all, you must still not forget who your source is. Never forget that the source is God and not the people. Hence, your loyalty must be to God. This happens a lot when it's to leaders, and we're all leaders here in different rights. But this happens a lot to people who have people, leaders who have people who are following them. And a lot of times, you are trying to play democracy. You are trying to play leader of the people, man of the people. You are trying to always garner the support of the people. You are trying to always please the people. Be careful, because it was the same people that sent Saul back in. Never forget at any point in time that you are where you are because of your obedience to God. And so your loyalty must lie to God and not to the people. In verse 30, after Samuel told Saul again, at verse 21 and 24, in verse 30 again, after Samuel told Saul that, in fact, it is all gone, nothing God can do. Verse 30, what Saul said again? Then he said, "I have sinned. Yet, honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people." It was all about the people. There is nothing wrong in trying to please the people, but never forget who your loyalty should lie to. Because God is your source. It is God that has brought you to where you are in life. It is God that has seen you through the successes and has brought you to where you are. So never forget that your loyalty should be to God and not to the people. It happens in life. You get blessed. Things happen. And your network increases. Your network base increases. You know, your network increases. You begin to meet people. You begin to meet people that matter. Let me put it like that. You begin to meet people that matter. But never forget at the back of your mind that it's not those associations that brought you to where you are. It happens everywhere in life. Maybe in ministry, as time goes on, you know, from brother, you become deacon, assistant pastor, you become pastor, maybe you become bishop, and you know, as things happen like that, perhaps you meet other pastors, you meet other bishops, and you go for conferences, you go for other places where you meet such great men of God, you know, and it gives you opportunities to maybe minister in other places. As time goes on, don't forget, it is not those associations that brought you to where you are, it's God. Maybe in your workplace, you are getting promotions, someone likes you, and is getting you to meet, you know, directors regularly, you easily meet with those that matter in the office. You must still not forget that it is not those associations that brought you to where you are. It is God. It is God. Because when you begin to meet the who is who, there is a feeling of power that sometimes makes you forget that you are not invisible. Amen. So said, I offered the sacrifice because the people were about to scatter. The people wanted to scatter. He knew he shouldn't have offered sacrifice. He said, I offered this because of the people. Everything was about the people. Saul failed because of the people. The number one thing that helped him not to finish well was the people. Let's not forget, your loyalty should lie to God and not to the people. It even got so bad that at a point in time, he even consulted witches because of the people. Sometimes in life, we do things. We do things that in our heart we know is not correct. We know it's not right. We know we shouldn't do it. But because we want to please the people, in this case, the people may be one person, it may be two persons, it may be anybody. You know them in your heart. But you know it is not correct. But because you want to please the people, you go ahead and do it. That's why someone said that sometimes we buy the things we do not need with money we don't have to please people we don't like. All about the people. Think about it. Sometimes we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to please people we don't like. The people. That was what he saw. Number two person we'll be looking at is David. David is the king that took over Saul. David is the king that God said before he met him that David is a man after my heart. God said this about David, that David is a man after my heart. But this David was the same person. How can a man after God's heart commit adultery and murder back to back? He followed it up. He did a follow-up ministry, committed adultery, follow-up ministry, put murder at the back. And this was a man after God's heart. What happened to him? What caused that to happen to him? The way God works with us most times, God always wants to show dependence on him. That's why he never shows us off the road at a particular time. The way God works is, sometimes he gives you a glimpse of the future. He tells you what your future will look like. So, let's say your future is the door at the back and you are here. He tells you what that place will look like. He shows you a glimpse of it and you are happy. Then he will wait. And little by little, he will show you the road he wants you to take. So little by little, he will tell you, go left. He will tell you, walk to the last row. Go straight. At a point in time, he will tell you, stop. Cut into the row, enter the next one. Go like that. Little by little, he will show you how to go. Because God knows, if he shows you the end and shows you the road from the beginning, you tell him, God, thank you. And you will zoom up. You will zoom up and leave God. So God always has to teach us dependence. How to depend on him time by time. So many times he will give you a glimpse by anyhow, by a dream, by a word of knowledge, something. He will let you know that he's planning a great future for you. But the road to get there, he will not tell you exactly all at once. Because he wants to teach us dependence on him. That's what God always wants to do. So sometimes he blesses us a bit. He blesses us, then he sets us up. He sets us aside to teach us dependence, to depend on him. That's what happened to David. David, in the wilderness, he killed lion, he killed bear. He was alone, nobody saw him, he wasn't popular. Then he came in the popular place and killed Goliath. He made after killing Goliath, David entered cave. In the cave, there is a possibility for him to begin to think God does not like me. But the reason why I cannot think like that is that even if it is like that, somebody by side will tell him, Oga, how can you say God doesn't like you that killed Goliath? It was God that able to kill Goliath. So, everybody knows that this man is blessed. But after the blessing, it's like if he entered into some difficult time, because God wanted to teach him dependence on God in the cave. He later came back again to the cave king. It happened to Moses still. All the male children were dying. They were all dying by the decree of Pharaoh. God carried Moses, did one wonder who set up, caused the daughter of Pharaoh to be paying Moses mother money for taking care of her own son, Moses. And they were taking care of him in the Egyptian palace. And they were using state money to take care of this man who was supposed to be an enemy. God set it up. And for 40 years, he was doing very fine in Egypt. And after a while, God took me to the wilderness. Come and learn to depend on me. You have been eating good food and you think everything is rosy. Come and learn to depend on me. And after a while, God brought him back again. And that is how God works. Teaching dependence on him. Dependence on him. That was what happened to David. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel 11 verses 1. 2 Samuel 11 verses 1. That was what got David into trouble. 2 Samuel 11 verses 1. It says, and it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David tarried still at Jerusalem. There are times that after success in life, you want to go on break. You want to go on rest. There are some rest you should not go for. It was that kind of unneeded rest that put David into trouble. The Bible said clearly there, at the time when kings go to battle. What he was supposed to do then was to go to battle. He sent his people forward and he stayed at home. That was what got him into trouble. Because he rested at the time when kings should go to battle. Let's look at our own lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 6 verse 10, it said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms, so shall thy poverty come upon you like an armed man. It's funny. The beginning was a little. It always starts with a little. A little sleep, a little rest, a little have arrived, me relax. Starts with a little. But the result is usually not little. The purpose of blessing and positioning is for work. It's common in the workplace that the result for good work is what? The result for good work is what? Is more work. And it's the truth. Even the way God works. The purpose of blessing and positioning is for something. There is something that God wants you to do. That's why it's blessing and repositioning you. So it doesn't just, God doesn't bless people to go on holiday. God doesn't cause you to succeed so that you go on holiday. I imagine that the Jew says it a lot of times that, you know, he's been told a lot of times after convention, he will go on another trip, after another trip, he will go on Congress, after Congress, he will go for go fishing, you know, and they tell him to rest once in a while. And he says, no, why should he rest? There is a lot of work to do. It is rest at the wrong time that killed David. Think about it. In our own lives, you succeeded a bit, you've done something and you succeeded, and it's working for you. And then you think it's time to take unnecessary rest. You started the business. When this business started, 4 o'clock you've woken up. You have prayed about the business. 7 o'clock you have worked. You have taken over your business now. You're in your shop with the people that you hired, and you're doing well. And it seems like the business is gaining ground. So these days now you wake by 8 o'clock. You don't even bother praying. You know that customers will come. So there's no need to pray about the business anymore. It's like resting. And it's resting because you think you have succeeded. That is what it looks like. In life, it's okay to delegate. Delegate things by all means. For the most important battles, fight them yourself. Delegate things by all means. For the most important things that need to be done, you do them by yourself. Why not? If not, why did God put you there? Why did God put you there? It happened to the apostles. They had issues when they were there. Some people said they were not serving them well. What did the apostles say? The apostles say, hold on. Select 7 men. 7 wonderful brothers amongst you. Let them take care of this serving of this. For as for us, we will remain with the ministry of word and prayer. That was what the apostle said. They delegated the other thing, but the most important one they kept to themselves. In our own lives too, in the things that we do, no matter how much you think you have succeeded, be careful. Because it is usually after success that people fail. So no matter how much you have succeeded, always remember that after success, the aim of success is not so that you will go on holiday on unnecessary rest. It was what killed David. Even after you have succeeded in things, always remember. I don't know, when I first heard this message, it struck me because some years back, it was compulsory. Every month, every week, I passed twice. Then, this would be Wednesday and Sunday. Sunday, in routine is, if you eat before you come to church on Sunday, you're not pregnant, you're not nothing. I don't understand why. Because you're supposed to be in workers' meeting by 7 o'clock. So I don't know how you eat. In the morning, you wake up, cook food and eat before coming. You need prayer too. So it is just natural for a redeemed worker to fast. So Sunday was given. And then Wednesday was there. And I just realized that over time, over years, the Wednesday has just faded. And it dawned on me. Because why? The way the devil works most times is this. When you start, you are praying and fasting about something. You pray and fast, things happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You pray and fast. Things happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And after a while, you don't pray and you don't fast. The devil will not see fight. He will allow those things to happen. You didn't pray. You didn't fast. He doesn't come towards you. He allows those to happen. So after he has allowed it once, twice, you begin to ask yourself, this prayer and fasting itself, is it necessary? After all, when I prayed, it happened. When I did not pray, it happened. I fasted, it happened. Yes? But I did not fast this one too, and it happened. So over time, you begin to relax, and you think that those things that are important are no longer important. The devil is just scheming and waiting for an uppercut. He will not give us an uppercut in Jesus' name. Let no rest before it is time. It was what dealt with David. It was what dealt with David. So look at your own spiritual life. Are there things that you have stopped over time? You gave yourself targets of reading Bible before. You gave yourself targets of doing things, of reading books. And over time, those things have just faded. Because you think you have learned enough. You have become, in your area, you want that no Bible pass. You are the area Bible. Well done. But do not forget that unnecessary rest was what killed David. The very last person we'll be looking at is Solomon. I'm talking about three kings. There were three great men. Solomon. Solomon was a very great man from the beginning. In 1 Kings 3 verse 7, this man asked God for wisdom. 1 Kings 3 verse 7. He was just fasting. And God told him to select things. And the young man chose wisdom. Yes, the Bible says that in the later end of his life, that Solomon turned from facing God. He turned from serving God. And we wonder, how can this wisest man before Jesus, how come the wisest man before Jesus will make this kind of mistake? What happened to him? What happened to him actually? Was in 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. That was what happened to him. 1 Kings 11 verses 1. 1 Kings 11 verses 1. It says here, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. And verse 4 says, and it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wife turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. I'm rising up to Solomon. Now, Solomon, that place says, Solomon loved many strange women. Somebody said that there are three things that kills people in ministry. He said it's women, wealth, and wine. I think it was Kenneth Hagin. Because the ministers around that time, that was always women, wealth, and wine. You know? Someone said that bad women don't find poor men attractive. You know, I heard someone come to tell me that, he wasn't doing so well before, and since I started to move for him, things were getting better, and he said, that girl came to come and meet him, and he said, I like you, you are handsome. And he was happy and excited, you know. And I was wondering, of course it's true, you are handsome. Why come you were not handsome all this while? It's just now that since I'm going for you that you became handsome. Adulterous women will hunt for precious things. That's what the book of Proverbs says. Adulterous men will hunt for precious things. What actually killed Solomon was that feeling of invincibility. Solomon felt he was invincible. There's a way you will succeed in life. Things will work for you so much that you just think, no matter what, it will continue to work. You stop taking precautions. So before, when they call you to come and sing, you go and prepare. You check your voice, make sure your voice is working well. You pray, you do everything before you go and sing. When they call you take precautions. After a while, when these things are going so well, you begin to have that feeling of invincibility that nothing can go wrong. We've been doing this thing for years. Do you know how many years I've put into this thing I'm doing? Do you know how many I've put into it? I can do it. When they give you work to do, no problem. You do not put the normal precautions you put anymore. That feeling of invincibility. So God took care of Solomon. For so many years, he just thought his wisdom was enough to keep him. And he flouted God's rule. He loved many children men and he kept on marrying them. But it was not enough. But invincibility fell. But at the end, the women took him away. I'm going to close with this quote from a former vice presidential candidate from the Democratic Party in the U.S. He was a very successful young man. At 36, he was already a multimillionaire at 36. And at 42, he was the youngest senator in 10. You know? And he wanted to run for vice presidential seat. But he had a child out of wedlock. And the way he works there, those little faults, they are the things that they will look for during elections and hit you up. It's not exactly the same way he works there. So he had a child out of wedlock and was properly hidden all this while. So at that point when he came out to run for elections, that was when they dug up that issue and they brought it out. And the Americans should just judge him as somebody who is not able to keep himself. And they would say this kind of person is not good enough to lead us. And he was knocked out at that point. So they asked him that you have so much going for you. How can you make this kind of mistake and think nobody will know? And come out to run for the second most powerful position in the world, and you think nobody will know. And he said, and I quote, he said, a time comes when your success gets to a point that you think you are invisible. You think nothing can go wrong again. You think nothing can stop you anymore. And you do not take the normal precautions you used to take. Invisibility was what killed Solomon. Let's take note. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. In rounding off, we need to remember 4 points. The very first one, never forget that you got to where you are by the favor of God. It was God that got you to where you are. Number two, you repay God's favor by giving him glory. You repay God's favor by giving him glory. Number three, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards. A steward is a caretaker. You are a steward of the life God has given you. You are a steward of the position. You are a steward of the successes. You are a steward of the gifts and the talent. You are just a caretaker of the children he gave you. They are not yours, they are his. That's why the Bible says children are the heritage, the inheritance of God. You are just a caretaker of all the things he has given you. And the Bible says, moreover, it is a requirement in caretakers that they should be found faithful. Never forget that God requires faithfulness from you as a caretaker of everything he has given to you. And finally, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 4. Same 1 Corinthians, what Apostle Paul said. I would like to read 1 Corinthians 7 verse 25. Apostle Paul said, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I'm closing on that part. As one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. In all these things, it takes God's mercy. It takes God's mercy to finish well. It takes God's mercy to finish well. It takes God's mercy to be faithful. It takes God's mercy to be faithful. I just like to remind us, we should meditate upon this mercy. Let's dwell upon it. And think back at your life, your successes, and where you are now. Think back at the things that you used to do that have stopped. Look back at your life. What needs to be corrected? It is very important. We are going to pray the last prayer, even as we bow down our heads. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 25. Apostle Paul said, as one that has obtained mercy from God to be faithful. It takes mercy to be faithful. And you talk to God for yourself and say, Lord, grant me mercy to be faithful. Help me, Lord, to be faithful. Give me mercy. Cause me to obtain mercy to be faithful. In every area of my life, Lord, help me to finish well. Help me to finish well. Help me to finish well. Everything I've started, Lord, help me to finish and help me to finish strong.
Jesus. Father, help me to finish well. As you have made me to start well, O Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that I will finish well and will not end with regret in my life, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I've answered our prayers. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed.